So I'm going to paint the canvas with a bit of a different brush. Lima, for those of you that haven't been there or haven't seen pictures, when I stand on top of the rooftop of one of the churches there, what I see is, well, when the wind comes and clears the haze, what I can see surrounding are these dunes, and these dunes are covered in shantytown after shantytown, just layered and layered and layered. And the conditions that so many people live in there are really unspeakable. Over 90% of Peru's population live in the city. So many people forced off their land due to a number of reasons, mainly contamination, or because of a belief that in the city one can get jobs, in the city is opportunity, in the city is progress. Those First Nations in Peru are very, very discriminated against. There is such a stigma around them and their language, Quechua. Education is only available to those that can afford it. Healthcare, very subjective. The corruption within their government is something that one talks about every day there. Violence against women. And I came to see that the suffering there was fueled to such an extent by the lifestyles of my people in Canada. Something I had known, but not something that I had felt yet. I spent last weekend with Sylvia McAdam, and she described to me the final stage of genocide. And she said the final stage of genocide is when the oppressor can take their hands and look at the people and see that the people hate their own culture and hate their own language. And then the oppressor teaches them how to be indigenous. A few interesting things happened in May while I was there. On May 10th, we received word from our climate scientists that our atmosphere had surpassed 400 parts per million of CO2. 400 parts per million isn't associated with a specific climate disaster, but it shows us just how far we've gone. 350 parts per million, as many people will know, is the amount that scientists tell us is what we need our atmosphere to be at in order to sustain human life. And on May 14th, Mr. Harper visited President Ollantaytambo in Lima, Peru. Now, this wasn't documented very much because this was, I believe on May 12th, was the beginning of the Duffy scandal. So, you can imagine what most newspapers were reporting about. Very few asked the question, what was Mr. Harper doing in Peru on May 14th? And I was there. And Mr. Harper... Mr. Harper, my brother, as I was reminded of many times, announced the allotment of $53 million in aid money that would be put towards Peru, which is one of our focus countries. Which means that our money is directly funding Canadian mining companies in Peru under the ideology that mining drives development. And that is the government that we have elected. And on occasion, as it would come up in our circle on Sundays, I would try to explain the silencing of scientists, the corruption of leadership. And the response was always that he's your brother. Mining in Peru. So, just over 75% of mining companies in all the world are Canadian-owned. And the reason for that is because we don't... we have the most lax regulations, as in none. And so although many may not be owned by Canadian citizens, they are registered under Canadian law. And I came to really feel that the blood was literally on my hands. And every day, as, again, such a visible minority, that comes with the question, ¿De dónde? Where are you from? What an exciting question to be asked. And I hated it. I hated it there, because every single day, I would have to say, I'm from Canada. So what I'm hearing and what I'm reading right now is responsible extraction. And I understand that I think that the word transition is a word of our decade right now. I think this is a really important word. Our transition away, our transition elsewhere, our transition from this dependency, this brokenness. And I can understand how many people feel that responsible resource extraction is part of that transition away. But here in this space, I encourage us to look more deeply at the concept of extractivism. And I have to refer to Leanne Simpson of the Elderville First Nation, because this is what she writes about extractivism. The act of extraction removes all the relationships that give whatever is being extracted meaning. My land is seen as a resource. My relatives in the plant and animal worlds are seen as resources. My culture and knowledge is a resource. My body is a resource, And my children are a resource because they are the potential to grow, maintain, and uphold the extraction assimilation system. So reflections from Peru on our relationship with the land. What is it that fractures in us when we extract? I think often about what is fractured in me every time that our land here is fracked. And I think of what is fractured within our society every time our land is fracked. So here we are. We've glimpsed the magnitude of suffering to which our lives are inevitably tied. We are caught in a web of mutuality. And despite our good intent, this is the reality, here and there. And so we come to this place of sadness, anger, frustration, despair, for some apathy, for some false optimism. And to me, they are all different manifestations of a paralysis. And I think that all of us in this room have come to that realization at some point in our lives and have gotten to know despair or apathy quite well. And hopefully, many of us in this room have come to a place where we can move with that, but move. But I think it's important, I wonder, if you've ever asked this question, just if you're comfortable with raising your hand. When we see something like this, who has asked the question, how could this have happened? There we go. How do we stop this? What does my small influence really mean in the face of such extreme suffering and destruction? It seems there are so many causes. Who do I support? Should I become politically active in a certain campaign? What is political? What isn't political? Will Jerome should have had you. What are the most pressing issues given the scale of extraction and industrial expansion? I definitely ask. How do we prioritize? Can we? Our hands are buried so deep into the injustices and suffering in our world. How do we remove our hands without causing more suffering?
my role. And this one. Where on earth do we begin?